Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, everybody, your Ben Jarofsky show for Wednesday, December 11th is just moments away. But before we get into that, we need to thank the following unions for jumping on board and sponsoring this program. You people are awesome. First up, it's the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local 126 and District 8, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, and of course, today's Ben Jarofsky show is brought to you by our good friends at the Chicago Federation of Labor. The Ben Jarofsky Show.
Mary wants to be a superwoman, but is that really in her mind? Da 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 da. Fare thee well. I believe I love you.
The Ben Jarofsky Show starts now. It is Wednesday, December 11th. And live from the Chicago Sun-Times Chicago Reader Studio on Racine Avenue, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show. Please stop clapping. Today on the program, it's another Monroe Midweek with legendary Chicago journalist Monroe Anderson. Election lawyer Adolfo Mondragon returns, and also making her return. Hopefully she brings her dog. Everyone loves her dog. It's Doris Davenport. And now your host never brings a dog. Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We're calling this Reconsideration Wednesday. And here's why. So as everybody knows, I spent the last, eight, 9 years advocating for the legalization of reefer. Yes. Now it's upon us, almost upon us, January 1st. It's going to be legal. Dr. D can break out the bong wherever he wants. Okay, well, actually, that's technically not true.
What?
As Tommy Shuba pointed out, it's not clear if you can walk down the street. I don't think you can walk down the street with your bong, all right, D?
So funny. Just waiting for the bus, just ripping, pulling tubes, waiting for the bus.
Got my bong out. Just allowed me to sit on the bus and smoke my bong. Woo! Nope, got a whole... I don't even know if you could whip out the bong. That's an interesting thought.
Sounds dirty.
Excuse me while I whip out my bong.
Please stop. Grossing me out.
Blazing Saddles, great movie. You ever see Blazing Saddles?
Absolutely.
Excuse me while I whip the... Anyway, so I don't know if you can whip out your bong on a bong in a bus. I don't know if you can smoke your bong on your front porch. I don't know if you can smoke your bong in your backyard. The point is...
In a box with a fox.
You can smoke it in your house, I suppose.
With a mouse.
With a mouse. Anyway, I really don't know what's that much different between when reefer was illegal and when it is legal, but there is a difference, and that's what's got me thinking. I've talked about this a little bit in the show. I think I'm going to write a column about it. With every day, with each new article, with each new detail emerging about what legalization of marijuana is leading to, I keep coming to the conclusion, you know, I'm not so certain I want it to be legal. Now, as you always say, when I say this, D, I must point out, nobody should be arrested for smoking marijuana. So it should be one of those things where everybody looks the other way while people do an illegal thing. So in other words, what I'm really saying is, do I want the money that goes to selling marijuana to go to some wealthy corporation of well-connected rich people? Or should I let it go to, Bernie the dealer, your dealer guy? You know what I'm saying, D?
Don't say his name.
Oh, is his name Bernie?
No, his name's not Bernie.
Okay, so I'm just torn in this. And this is like the story of my life, people. If I could just open up and it's just expose my inner feelings to all of you. It's like, this is the problem of my life. I want things so bad. I just like, wait, please happen. And then in the occasion that it happens, it's like,
Is that all there is? Song of the day, D. You know what? Marlene D. Is that all there is?
Destroying that song. But is that all there is? I'll give you an example, D. 1991. My beloved Chicago Bulls.
Wait, are you going to sing again?
Okay. Don't worry, I won't sing unless it's to sing Go Bulls Go, let me hear you. Anyway, my beloved Chicago Bulls finally won. They broke through. They won the championship. I've been a Bulls fan since 1966. I love the Chicago Bulls. I had so many disappointments on the road. Finally they won. I remember walking the dog that night, D, going, is that all there is? Kind of anticlimactic, you know? I'm not that excited. And then all of a sudden became compulsive. Will they win the next year? And I got so freaked out when the Knicks took them to 7, and it was so scary. You remember that series, D?
Right. Your time's ending here on the Sports Talk. Come on.
Young D in Alton, Illinois, watching the Bulls-Knicks series in 1992. Anyway, 1992, speaking of the year, thank you for raising it, Bill Clinton won. Bill Clinton, your favorite president, was victorious in 1992. I had spent the entire 80s waiting for the Democrats to take back the White House. And when Clinton finally won, the next day I was like, is that all there is? I mean, I wanted this so bad.
Let's hear your best impression. You're Bill Clinton.
I love Hillary. Bernie Sanders. Very unfair to Hillary. Very unfair.
You're only good one. Bill Clinton. That's
no,
good.
I will now do Kenny Davis.
Not a word said, but somehow still a great impression.
Wait, and now I will do...
Okay, you're done.
Monroe. Putin.
You're done.
Okay. Anyway, so... Yeah, so I'm Tommy Shuba. This is young Tom Shuba, ace staff reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, my beloved bright one, home delivered every day. Tom Shuba has been dutifully covering the Reefer Beat and doing a great job, I should say, for I don't know how many months. His article today, where first downtown pot joints could open, that's the headline. And it talks about two reefer stores that are coming to the Gold Coast, the near north side of the city of Chicago. And I'm reading the story. I'm thinking one thing. Once again, enormously wealthy, well-connected, rich people are benefiting from reefer somehow or other. Poor black people got arrested all these years, but push comes to shove, it's going to be some rich guys benefiting from it. So I'm not dealing well with that one, D, all right? And then secondly, where they're coming, all right? Now, if you're an old guy like me, some of these addresses mean something to you. So, for instance, let's see, one address, where is it? I'm looking here. One address is 612 North Wells. 612 North Wells, D. That's where Carson's Ribs used to be. You know what Carson's Ribs is?
A rib place.
Oh, my God. How did you know that?
Trying my best to.
I've had many great meals at Carson's Ribs. Very enjoyable meals over the years at Carson's Ribs. The other one is at the old Baton Lounge. They're going to bring a reefer store to the Baton Lounge. It was, as Tommy calls it, an iconic drag bar. I've been to the Baton Lounge a few times over the years. I'd rather have the Baton Lounge back than a reefer store, D. I'm just throwing that out there. Okay? And I miss Carson's. If you ask me, what would I rather have, a reefer or ribs, I'm going with the ribs. I'm just saying that, all right?
So that's where you and I differ, pal.
But you would rather have the reefer?
Of course.
So you're all aboard on the legalization of marijuana.
It's whatever. I get it fine illegally.
Anyway, so I know I'm going to be fetching about this and complaining about this for months to go. It just underscores my point. I want something to occur, and then as soon as it occurs, it's so typical, so human behavior, I immediately start complaining. Right, D?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, reefer or ribs? We're going to have more discussion about this. I'm going to ask Monroe and Adolfo about this when they come in. Reefer or ribs?
That just sounds like an awesome podcast.
I know. How about reefer and ribs? Mm. There you go. Hey, the ribs will taste better if you have a little reefer. Anyway, we have a great show today. Today, Monroe Anderson will be here talking Trump, the impeachment, two articles of impeachment voted by Congress. Finally, the Democrats are getting serious about it. Republicans are having a counterpunch. I'll tell you what, those Republicans don't play. And Donald Trump has just taken control of the Republican Party. There is no doubt about it. We'll be talking about all that kind of thing. Also, Adolfo Mondragon will be coming in. Adolfo, on top of being an election law lawyer and an expert in local politics, huge Bernie Sanders supporter, okay? And so we'll probably be talking about Bernie Sanders, Democratic Party. What's the best strategy for the Democrats as they head off into this election? I am starting to think, I'm getting a little nervous here, D. Getting a little nervous here.
I noticed that actually.
The Democratic Party, this split between the centrists and the lefties, is maybe a little more difficult to maneuver around than I originally thought. Okay, we're seeing what drove this home was the comments that Hillary made on the Howard Stern show last week. We've been talking about them, where she just kind of trashed Bernie Sanders for no good reason, in my humble opinion, reviving that old fight. I've been since getting texts from Bernie Bros and Sanders sisters out there who support Bernie Sanders trashing Hillary. And I got a feeling that this divide is a little deeper than I fully acknowledge. So it could be problematic, particularly since Donald John Trump owns the Republican Party. They are united around Donald John Trump. They will follow whatever he says. They'll do whatever he tells them to do. If he feels compelled to trash John McCain, they'll go trash John McCain as well. If he says that absolutely nothing happened and it's a witch hunt, they'll say nothing happened with Ukraine and it's just a witch hunt. And it's down the line from top to bottom. So they're united behind Donald John Trump. The Democrats seem to be more into fighting each other. So we'll be talking.
No collusion.
Yeah. Thank you for that one. Doris Davenport will be here later in the show. She'll bring a mystery guest, Dee. I love it when Doris brings in a mystery guest. I wonder who that mystery guest will be.
And it's not her dog, guys.
I'm sure she'll bring her dog. I'm going to ask her about, there was a story in today's Tribune about...
human.
Snakes on plane. Nope. New rules for emotional support animals. I'm going to ask Doris about that, emotional support animals. Anyway, a really cute picture of a dog in the paper today. So anyway, plenty of political discussion ahead of us. A lot of Trump talk, a lot of Democrat talk, a lot of Hillary Bernie talk, a lot of Democratic primary talk. Where are we going as a Democratic Party? Can we be united long enough to defeat Donald John Trump? And but before we do any of that, the young man from Alton. The man they call the doctor with the news.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? The name's Dennis. Let's discuss what's happening in Chicago and or Illinois this afternoon. Our Illinois governor is looking ahead to 2020. What are his plans? What legislation will he sign? Will there be a 2020 State Fair Butter Cow?
It's the Butter Cow, which has 9 hearts to represent the 9 essential nutrients in milk. That's right. It's made entirely out of butter. And, it's a State Fair tradition since at least 1922.
Of course there's going to be a Butter Cow. More on Pritzker's plans in moments. But first, we begin with our Chicago Mayor's Wednesday schedule. Mayor Lori Lightfoot began her day offering remarks for the Cook County Assessor's Office's Market Analyst Day. And whatever that is, it happened at Venue 610 on Michigan Avenue. That's S-I-X, the number 10 on Michigan Avenue. Ben, you love that venue, don't you?
I love it. Go there every day.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually never heard about it. I'm so out of it. Oh, my God. Remember yesterday I was talking about Billie Eilish? I was confessing I didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
I did not know about this venue until you told me about this venue. So I'm just... open and honesty today. I don't know. It's not working to my advantage. I'm openly admitting that I'm very uncertain about the legalization of marijuana, though nobody should be arrested for it. And now I got to confess I've never heard of venue. What is it called? 610?
610. S-I-X 10.
Yeah, it's on Michigan Avenue, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is correct. I used to work out of a building right next to it. Isn't that,
Okay.
Yeah, but there was no 610. It was a different city back in the early 80s than it is today.
You say you're being honest today. Any other confessions you'd like to make right now?
No. As the show unravels, I will make other confessions. Not really feeling Mayor Pete. There's a confession.
There you go.
Okay? I mean, I vote for Mayor Pete over Donald John Trump. Just not feeling Mayor Pete, okay? I know you're going to do a Lori Lightfoot thing. I've been feeling really good about Lori Lightfoot ever since you challenged Mayor Pete. So what's the latest on Lori Lightfoot?
Well, let me do the news, Ben. Now, that's not all the mayor has going on today, according to the Joffrey Ballet. And I don't see why they'd lie about this. Mayor Lori Lightfoot will also address more than 2,500 students from 30-plus schools at the student matinee production of The Nutcracker. Ben, 'tis the season. Your thoughts on The Nutcracker?
Love
is it in your top 5 all-time ballets?
Yeah, it's number 1. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
What's number 2?
The Nutcracker.
How about 3, 4, and 5?
The Nutcracker. I'm not really into ballet, ladies and gentlemen. I should probably... You know what? It's never too late. So I maybe... just trying opera for the last couple of years, as you know. I just saw Don Giovanni. Let's talk to Adolfo about that. So, you know, maybe it's not too late for me to discover ballet.
Mayor Lightfoot also spoke on all this damn dirty Chicago corruption. Lightfoot said Tuesday that she plans to call Commonwealth Edison on the carpet for the Springfield lobbying scandal and asked the utility to join the city in ending shutoffs before Chicago will even consider renewing its franchise agreement.
I'm with her 100%. I'm feeling Lori Lightfoot these days, all right, D? First of all, she held Mayor Pete's feet to the fire on that non-disclosure agreement that he said was preventing him from revealing what he was up to when he was working for McKinsey back in the day. And now she's taking advantage of a scandal, political scandal, that has been slowly emerging to the public's awareness, having to do with Commonwealth Edison and Michael Joseph Madigan and Marty Sandoval and who else? Who knows who else? Because you know how these scandals develop. There's like leaks to the newspaper. You have bits and pieces of the story. You don't have the full story. But it's slowly emerging that something was up to no, but somebody was up to something no good. And so Lori Lightfoot's going to take advantage of that, or talk about taking advantage of that, try to negotiate a better deal with Commonwealth Edison. And good for her to do that. You know, it's good for her. There's so much of the big scandals in the city of Chicago just get ignored and buried. And so it's nice to know that, you know, they're taking a look at the big time operators and the big, by the way, I'm getting a weird phone call. That's really weird.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Glad you shared that with all of us.
Yeah, just take that
over. You're not going to take it?
No, I'm not going to take it.
All right. Well, I'm sure the mayor will come up again in discussions at some point today, so stay tuned for more. We're now moving on to the Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker. Today, the governor is on a bit of a mini victory tour. He visited 1871 in Merchandise Mart to celebrate 1871's designation as the top private business incubator in the world. And he's celebrating because, well, he founded 1871.
Wait a minute. In the world?
In the world.
Who said that?
It's according to Illinois Politico and Gia Campos.
Oh, but she didn't cite who cited it as the number one. I don't know. I just saw an article in the New York Times, I think it was, where Chicago is not even in the top 10 for tech centers in the country. I don't know if you saw that article, but they listed all the cities in the country that were in the top 10, which had the fastest growing tech economies, and Chicago was not in that. So I'm a little dubious about that distinction. But that could just be me, D. Remember, you know, I'm just not seeing the good news. Like, they're legalizing marijuana, and I'm dubious about that. You know, maybe that's just where I'm at today, but I'm have a little doubtful about being number one in the world.
It's
a big world, so I don't know.
Pritzker will then join Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox for a media availability after Fox files motions to vacate low-level cannabis convictions. You know, he's got to be there for the photo op, you know what I mean? Get that reefer rub.
Well, listen, this is the good side of legalizing marijuana. They're finally going to vacate some of these convictions that should never have happened in the first place. I think it's pretty obvious that the war on drugs was a colossal failure. It was hypocritical. It was unfairly enforced. Like I said, it was legal for one group of people and illegal for another group of people. Lots of money, lots of lives, lots of neighborhoods, lots of communities wasted in the years of this war. So it's good to see that we're moving away from the so-called phony war on drugs. And so good for that. You know what I'm saying? And J.B. Pritzker was the governor when the law was passed legalizing reefer. He signed the bill. He used his political clout to help push it through. So he deserves to take the victory lap.
So that's what's on Pritzker's Wednesday schedule. I don't know if you're out and about in Chicago. Maybe he'll stop by a neighborhood near you. Who knows? But with 2020 on the horizon, Pritzker's rookie year as a governor is coming to a close. On Tuesday's show, we heard Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot's quote, next big thing. It was her 10-year plan to grow Chicago's economy. Ben, what were your thoughts on that again?
Yeah, I learned a lot about logistics industry. Remember, we were talking about the logistics industry yesterday and how that's the key to the future of the city of Chicago. I read a little further about her plans. There's a couple articles in the Sun-Times about the plans about growing Chicago. And the key for the city of Chicago, as she laid it out, was to somehow or other get more people to come back to Chicago. Our population, we used to be over 3 million. It's now roughly around 2.7 million or something like that. It's fallen. And the significant number of people who've left the city of Chicago over the last 10 years or 20 years have been black people. And there was a great column by Ed Zotti in today's Sun-Times that laid it out, and he put it in one sentence. Essentially, black people don't see a future for themselves in the city of Chicago. So the real challenge is somehow or other to use our economic development dollars, to use the federal assistance that we get, to create an economy in the city of Chicago and create a culture in the city of Chicago that encourages all people to feel at home here. And that has not, the city has never really been able to do that over the last 40 years. It's either white people leaving or black people leaving. And so that's a great challenge that Lori Lightfoot is facing. I'm not quite sure the promoting the logistics industry is going to do that, but I wish her all the best.
So, yeah, Lightfoot announced that. So it only makes sense for reporters to now ask, hey, Pritzker, what do you have in store for the future? The following comes from the Chicago Sun-Times and one Tina Spondelez, hoping for another productive legislative season or session. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday vowed to tackle pensions, early childhood education, criminal justice reform, and health care next year, as well as the elusive Chicago casino. Mm. The governor fielded questions on his legislative agenda at the Leuna Training Center on Chicago's West Side Tuesday. Pritzker now has a new 2020 wish list, which includes the long-sought casino, additional pension reform, and the expansion of early childhood education. We have quotes from the governor. Quote, criminal justice reform is an area that I've already done a lot on in the spring session last year, but now I think we'll be revisiting some of the issues that came up over the last few years that never got passed. He goes on to say, quote, I'm also very focused on making sure that we're expanding opportunities for working families to get ahead of, you know, I've talked a lot about lowering the cost of health care, lowering the cost of child care, lowering the cost of education so that we can raise the standard of living and people who are working in our state. And as far as that Chicago casino, here's the quote from Pritzker, quote, I'm very hopeful that in the session of the legislature that is coming up starting in January, that we will begin to put together a bill and get it passed. Ben Jarofsky, how are we feeling about Pritzker these days? Good, bad, indifferent? And do you see any obstacles ahead in 2020 for our soon-to-be sophomore governor?
Well, first of all, I give him good grades for the start. So I feel pretty good about the first few months. He achieved most of his goals. But like we've been pointing out, the challenges are still there, and some of the goals that we thought he achieved, it turns out he hasn't completely achieved. And like, for instance, the casino bill, we've been talking a lot about this. The casino bill, which was passed very quickly in a couple of days back in May, it turns out there's some problems with it. Apparently, they can't find anybody in the city. I really have a hard time believing this. They can't find an operator who thinks it's worthwhile to run a casino in the city of Chicago. So they're going back to ask for less money for the city and the state and more money for the operator of the casino. And that's going to be a contentious debate. Like, who's going to give up what? Will the city give up more of the money? Will the state give up more of the money so that the private operator can get more money? I don't know if that's right. Maybe the city should run the casino itself instead of bringing in a private operator. I would have thought that there was enough money from a casino in the city of Chicago, which is probably going to be the premier casino in the state of Illinois and in the area. You would want to come to the city of Chicago as opposed to, let's say, Hammond or, you know, Aurora or some surrounding area. So I would think that the casino in Chicago would have the greatest draw. But they're already trying to cut in more money for the operator. So I'm a little concerned about that. The whole point of having the casino is to raise money to pay for our governmental obligations. If we're going to give more money off the top to the operator, why even have a casino? Because it's really a very regressive form of taxation. So I'm watching that. The pension watch, I don't know. You know, whenever they say pension reform, that generally means somebody's going to lose money, probably the pensioners. So we got to keep our eye on that one. Our early childhood education, how could you be against that? That's very important. But again, how are you going to finance it? So, you know, it's great to have a list of things you want to accomplish. The devil is in the details.
All right, and finally, one more J.B. Pritzker story here. And in case you forgot, J.B. Pritzker is really rich, guys. And here's proof. According to the Illinois Political Bulldogs over at Illinois Politico and Wanchia Campos, Pritzker just pumped $5 million into his brilliantly titled Vote Yes for Fairness Committee. What are you going to do, vote no on fairness? This is a committee pressing a graduated income tax amendment to the Illinois Constitution. The proposed constitutional amendment to allow Illinois to impose a non-flat income tax will be on the ballot in the 2020 general election. It requires 60% voter approval, and with $5 million more in the kitty and with the track record of our Governor Pritzker's gubernatorial campaign, I think you all know what's coming soon to a television or a computer screen near you.
False, nonsensical, completely incorrect. That's what newspapers call the attacks against the fair tax.
Don't you think voters should get to decide whether to change Illinois' tax system?
Oh, God, fair tax political ads.
They can't defeat the plan on its merits, so they're trying to jump it on the low road.
A yes vote by the legislature will put the fair tax on the ballot.
If the General Assembly gives the green light, we're all going to have a say at the polls next November.
Tell your representative.
Let's make our tax system fair.
We deserve a vote.
This is fair and necessary.
How excited are you?
Oh, well, I'm a big supporter of the Fair Tax Initiative, and this is perhaps, you talked about the challenges that J.B. Pritzker is facing in the coming year. This is probably the biggest challenge that he faces. He campaigned on a fair tax. He's been endorsing it ever since he was sworn in as governor. And essentially, right now, just to remind everybody of the issue, we have a flat tax, flat income tax in the state of Illinois. Absolutely everybody pays at the same rate, regardless of how wealthy they are or how poor they are. And what J.B. Pritzker and the Democrats have been proposing is to change the Constitution, amend the Constitution, so that wealthier people pay a greater percentage of their income for state income taxes and to help finance government. And so automatically from the get-go, there has been a very well-funded and very well-organized opposition to this, largely representing the well-to-do in the state who don't want to pay more money, would rather see government get cut than have to the wealthiest people in the state of Illinois pay more. And it's going to be a really difficult amendment to pass, because you're going to need, as Dennis said, 60% of the vote. You're going to ask 60% of the electorate to vote for raising taxes. Even if the taxes won't hit them hardest, there's still a strong... People hate taxes, D. They hate paying taxes. For all my talk about how much I support government, whenever I get that property tax bill... You know what's funny? And I can always divide people. It's interesting when there's the people in the city of Chicago who have never seen a property tax bill and don't quite understand what it means when you get that property tax bill. And then there's the people who own a house and know what it means to get like a 20% increase from one year to the next in your property taxes. So there is just a general opposition to taxes. If he could change the Constitution with like 50.1% of the vote, I'd say it was doable, and it was he could probably achieve his goal. 60%, that's going to be really a tough sell. And some really sophisticated, smart political types who come on the show, Pat Quinn, for instance, say, well, you got to immediately tie it to a property tax break. Monroe Anderson, who just walked into the studio, he's going to be screaming and yelling like crazy if his property tax bills go up for a fair tax. It's amazing what a rising property tax bill will do to bring out the inner Republican from anyone like Monroe or me. So it will be a really difficult challenge for J.B. Pritzker to get this bill passed. And when it's all said and done, D, he'll be spending a lot more than $5 million on TV commercials to get it done.
Okay, I thought I was hearing something. All right, so there you are. Just like that, you're now in the know of what's going on in Chicago and or Illinois. We will keep you posted on these stories as today's program rolls along. Before we go to break and give you Monroe Anderson, let's go to the YouTube live stream chat room. They're weighing in. Bruce, what's happening? Let's see. Brianna says, out of all the new Illinois-Chicago politicos, I am happiest with Governor Pritzker. He's doing the job that we elected him for.
I'm with you, Brianna. I would have to say it was a very good first year when I think of legalizing reefer, despite all my complaining about it. Legalizing reefer and, even having a budget. Let's think about that, D, what life was like in the Rauner days.
Oh, my God. Great radio content, but, like, you know, not good.
Yeah, not good.
Not good living.
Not good living. And I got to say that I was not the biggest fan of the casino expansion bill. Again, I think casinos are the most regressive form of taxation there is out there. But that said, got to pay your obligations somehow or other. So I give him credit for getting that passed. We'll see where he goes with it in the coming year.
Jay Marie weighed in. Excellent timing, Jay Marie. She just put this. She says, I agree about the governor. I did not vote for him, but I am pleasantly surprised by him. Not a fan of Lightfoot, though.
Whoa, turn it against Lori. What about...
I don't think she ever turned. She was always,
But what about Lori putting Mayor Pete's feet to the fire? You got to give her credit for that.
Jay Marie, what about that, Mayor Pete's feet to the fire.
Yeah, no, I was not pleased with Lori Lightfoot when she sent in the city lawyers to kill the lawsuit against Lincoln Yards. But I have to say, I did like the fact that she went right at Mayor Pete the other day and then said, you know, just rip up that non-disclosure agreement. Good God. Nobody pays attention to those things anyway. It was very refreshing.
Shout out to KMA Barry. KMA Barry, we were talking about Carson's earlier. KMA says Carson's is now on Illinois over by Navy Pier.
Oh, is that where? Thank you, KMA. Did not know that. By the way, there's a KMA bowling team in my league. I wonder if
Are they going down next week or what?
I don't think we're bowling them next week. But KMA, what's his name? KMA
Barry.
KMA Barry. you know what KMA stands for. Well, it's good to hear that Carson's is back. But I love that Carson's over on Wells Street. I've had many great meals there. And would I rather have ribs or reefer? I'm waiting. We'll ask Monroe what he thinks about that.
Pat Rod weighed in. He said reefer ribs. How about both, I guess?
Not like one or the other, I suppose.
And KMA Barry also said, I was worried we weren't getting a song of the day. For those who listen on the download, we do a song of the day to make sure everybody can hear us. Ben, what was that song of the day again?
Oh, I was singing a Stevie Wonder song. Song from way back in the day, way before anybody's time. Mary wants to be a superwoman.
Downloaders, you hear what you're missing out on?
That's one of Monroe Anderson's favorite songs back in 1971 when he was a young man. Well, I'm not going to say he was smoking reefer, but he was living large, Monroe Anderson.
And finally, our good friend Brianna weighs in. She says, Ben should sing solo. Solo, we can't hear him.
Who said that?
That's Brianna.
Brianna, we're sending you a car.
Okay. We're not doing that. So there you are, everybody.
That's very funny.
Feel free to weigh in on the YouTube live stream chat. If you're listening on the download, you're like, boy, that sounds fun. Live stream chatting. Well, join us tomorrow, won't you? Don't go anywhere. The Ben Jarofsky Show will be right back with Monroe Anderson. We are live from the Chicago Sun-Times.
The Ben Jarofsky Show is supported by Northwestern University's part-time master's program in literature and liberal studies. Students learn from dynamic and diverse faculty as they build advanced skills for critical analysis, writing, and research. Evening classes are held on Northwestern's Evanston and Chicago campuses. The spring quarter application deadline is January 15th. Learn more at sps.northwestern.edu/masters. It's Chicagoland's adult entertainment playground. It's the world-famous Admiral Theater, 3940 West Lawrence Avenue. The Admiral is homegrown from Chicago, and it's the most conveniently located club in all of the city. 15 minutes from the O'Hare Airport in downtown Chicago Loop. Voted Chicago's best strip club, the Admiral has showgirls galore and a variety of adult entertainment shows. The world-famous Admiral Theater, open every day from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m., 3940 West Lawrence Avenue. For events, showtime, and other information, visit AdmiralX.com. Must be 18 years of age or older to enter.
At Chicagoland Cremation Options, we are committed to listening, educating, and guiding your family through the cremation process. Whether it is time of death or when planning your wishes for the future, Chicagoland Cremation Options can accommodate you at an affordable price and with great dignity. Avoid funeral home costs with direct access to a crematory for a cremation. Chicagoland Cremation Options, just south of O'Hare, 5 minutes west of Chicago. It's a family-owned business and operated by my good friend, Douglas Klein. Visit it at ChicagolandCremationOptions.com. One more time, ChicagolandCremationOptions.com.
Ben, stop talking about ribs. Welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show, live from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Monroe Anderson is in the studio, comes in once a week to talk Trump. Before we do some Trump, and Adolfo Mondragon will be coming in at some point soon. We'll be talking Trump, we're talking Hillary, we're talking Bernie, talking the state of the Democratic Party, we'll talk about Republican counterpunch, we're going to talk about Afghanistan and the lies our government tells us to drum up support for wars that we probably shouldn't be in. We'll talk about all those things, but before we do any of that, I need to know, Monroe, I have a confession to make, one of my regular confessions here. I'm never happy with anything, okay?
Yeah.
I spent all these years advocating for the legalization of marijuana, and now that it's legal,
it's not legal for 2 weeks, okay. two and a half.
All right, okay, asterisk on it. Now it's about to be legal.
Yeah.
Now that the legislation is passed making it legal, I'm like complaining, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm never happy, Monroe.
What are you complaining about?
I'm complaining about several things. Number one, I'm complaining that for years and years and years, it was poor black people largely locked up for doing something that everybody else did freely.
Yeah.
And now that we've legalized it, look who's making the money.
Of course.
Okay, rich white people.
Well, what about the lottery? Same thing.
They put all those numbers policy, runners out.
Right, exactly. What is policy that it was illegal? Then the state took it over.
Yeah. So, and then my particular complaint, my specific complaint, I read today's Sun-Times, Tommy Schubert, another great article. He covers the reefer industry for the Sun-Times. Carson's Ribs. I used to go to that restaurant all the time. I love Carson's Ribs at 612 North Wells.
Yeah.
I went out of business, and now there's a reefer shop coming in there. I'm like, I'd rather have a rib store than a reefer store. That's why I was asking. So in your humble opinion, would you rather have a reefer store or a rib store at 612 North Wells? Go.
Reefer.
I'm with you.
Man. See, and this is your problem.
I got many problems. Where are we going to start?
Let me give you this spliff and you could just chill. Oh, wait, no, okay. Never mind.
Hey, whoa, fellas.
Let me tell you something about Monroe Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Mr. Press Secretary to the Eugene Sawyer, Mr. Tribune guy, Mr. Sun-Times guy, Mr. Establishment. Man, what a pothead back in the day.
Well, I was in college in the 60s.
Yeah.
So,
of course, you immediately stopped smoking marijuana as soon as you graduated from college.
Of course, yeah. But in the 60s.
In the 60s, yeah.
I started in 65 at Indiana University.
Wait, you started college in 65.
Indiana University.
Mm-hmm.
I got put on probation because I got caught in the dorm with some other guys playing penny poker and drinking beer. So we put on a social probation. The next year, dope came in, marijuana.
66.
You could walk through our floor and get a contact eye.
No,
everybody
man.
Was smoking. And the university didn't want the scandal. So they just smelled the other way.
Yeah, they smell. But you know, it's funny you should mention that. We're in a tangent with a tangent, but let me just enjoy this. I remember when I graduated high school, and a dear friend of mine, who I would call Eric E. Ma, a really good friend of mine from way back in the day, big pothead back in the day, and his mother was really happy that he was going. He wasn't going to a small liberal arts school in the Midwest because she felt that that's where marijuana smoking would be. Everybody would be doing it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Instead, he was going. I'm not making this up. To University of Indiana in Bloomington, and she thought that there would be less smoking there. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean, those big major Midwestern schools.
Right.
There was so much reefer going on.
Before, in my freshman year, I had been raised that if you just took one hit off a joint, you'd be a drug addict. You'd be on heroin in no time flat. And so I had avoided it up until that time, until a good friend of mine convinced me to try it.
Well, and you enjoyed it when you tried it?
I inhaled.
You inhaled, unlike Clinton?
Right.
Speaking of lies. See, and this gets to the lies part. And in like a skeptic like myself has such a hard time, Monroe, believing anything people in authority tell me.
Yes.
Because you're absolutely correct. You and I are roughly the same generation, and I remember the health classes where they told us, they try to scare us with Reefer Madness. That's why I call it Reefer, because there was a movie called Reefer Madness. They would show us this movie, Reefer Madness. They would tell us that marijuana would be the next step to losing your mind, or heroin. And then people would, the kids would go and smoke it anyway. You're not going to deter a kid from smoke doing something. If you tell a kid, don't do this, that's basically saying, do this. Right. And they go try it, and it's not like what they're told. Right. So they don't believe government at all anymore.
Exactly. No, and that's what was happening back then. And Lee Daniels, the producer, is making a movie about Billie Holiday. And the name of the movie is U.S. versus Billie Holiday. It's about how they targeted her.
Is that right? I missed that. Yeah. I didn't. He's making the movie right now. Yeah, who's going to play Billie Holiday?
Her name is Andra Day. She's a singer. She sang this song Rise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
For 10 trivia points.
Yes.
Who played the original Billie Holiday in Lady Sing the Blues?
Oh God! Please, Diana Ross.
And who played the piano man, the piano player in that movie?
One Richard Pryor.
And who played her love interest?
One Billy D. Williams.
3 for 3. Right. Who's now, I don't know if you followed this, is finding his inner feminine voice. Have you seen that?
Exactly. His hormones are fighting it out or something.
Yeah, Billy D. Williams. But very good. Give Monroe credit, man. He answered all three of those correctly.
I was at Ebony at the time.
Oh, that would be huge.
And we had a screening room. So I saw it before... the movie before most people in the JPC screening room.
By the way, I bumped into this gentleman in the hallway. I have to give him a shout out before we go and follow up on what I was asking you about. Lee Bay, you mentioned Lee Daniels. Lee Bay, who was a guest on our show, is now an editorial writer at the Chicago Sun-Times. I just bumped him in the hallway. Yeah. So congratulations, Lee Bay, one of the great architect critics in the city of Chicago.
Lee is my most accomplished student.
Did I know this, that you taught him? Did you tell me this
because
of all the marijuana I smoked?
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right, now let's get into lying by our government. And I was talking about the lying that they did, which is relatively benign. I put it relative about drugs and the impact that drugs will have on you, which is unrealistic. It did not have the impact that they said it was going to have. So they, in their attempt to discourage people from smoking marijuana, they undercut their own credibility.
Okay, I've written about this, and you have to forgive me for forgetting the gentleman's name. Not, he wasn't really a gentleman, but anyway, when J. Edgar Hoover was busting all the alcohol salesmen. The gin runners and what have you. Mm-hmm. You know, you have these press conferences basically with the Axis and what have you, where they're busting open the cakes. He's getting all this publicity. And there was this guy who also was in the FBI who was jealous of the publicity that J. Edgar Hoover was getting. So he managed to get marijuana criminalized. Before then, it wasn't criminalized at all. Nobody thought about it. Because only Mexicans and black musicians smoked it. And so he made it into an illegal drug, thinking that he'd get the publicity by fighting the smokers that J. Edgar Hoover was getting for fighting the bootleggers. And that's how it became illegal. He was instrumental in getting Reefer Madness made.
Mm.
And so that's how.
So again, it's more lies our government tells us.
Exactly.
And it really undercuts it, like in a moment like this.
Yes.
Okay, this it'll all come together, folks. So in a moment like this, where
Trump lies 79 times a day.
Okay. Trump is a compulsive liar. Yes. We all know that.
Yes.
You can't believe anything Trump says. It is possible that something he says may be true, but that's just because it fit his need at that very moment. Or he slipped up. So you can't take anything he says seriously.
Right.
So the reason this is important is because it comes moments when the people of the United States have to decide who is telling the truth. And so in this case, like, let's just take one of the things we've been talking about a lot. Who hacked those Democratic computers? We're going to be talking about this later when Adolfo comes in. It was a key pivotal moment in the 2016 presidential election on the eve of the Democratic convention. Somebody hacked Democratic computers and exposed all the inner emails that showed that the leaders of the Democratic Party were conspiring among themselves to undercut Bernie and help Hillary. And these emails were released at the very time the Democrats were coming together. It undercut Democrats' calls for unity. The Democrats have been fighting ever since. 4 years later, basically, Monroe Anderson, these splits are still very much alive. Yeah. So
And just coincidentally, that information came out the day that the grab them by the.
Oh, that was the second release. There was two releases. Yeah. Yes, you're talking. I'm talking about the release of emails on the eve of the Democratic convention in July of 2016. You're talking about the John Podesta dive that occurred. That was dropped in October of 2016, just as Donald Trump was in trouble because the videotape was released where he was bragging about grabbing women by the private parts.
Yeah.
So yeah, there were two drops essentially. Now the first drop, it's clear. All the intelligence agencies have said it was Russian hackers.
Right.
The Republicans, including your favorite Republican Ted Cruz, are now going around saying it was Ukrainian hackers. They're just making stuff up as they go along. Yeah, Monroe and
Lindsay may be becoming my favorite Republican.
These Republicans are such. We'll talk about this with Adolfo, man. These guys used to argue against Trump. Now he owns them. Right. He controls them. Right. So, all right. So it's like, I want to believe. You have to say, okay, who do I believe, the intelligence agencies or Donald Trump? I'm going to believe the intelligence agencies. Then we get reports like...
I remember when I used to not believe the intelligence agencies.
There you go. And
but now I do, because their lies are so insignificant compared to Trump's.
Well, I don't know about that. You were talking about the report that just came out about, do we call them lies, that were drummed up about the war in Afghanistan?
That's the military, not the intelligence agency.
Well, okay. Now you're drawing distinctions.
Right.
Most ordinary Americans.
To quote a great radio station, facts matter.
Ah,
wow, what was that?
Facts matter.
That's the one that fired him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot, D. Thanks for the memory.
WCPTA 20. They fired you.
Yeah, they did fire me. Yeah, yeah. Yes, facts didn't matter when they fired me, though. Suddenly, facts didn't matter so much. Just get rid of the guy right now, and we'll make up some stuff as to why we did it. Okay. So, again, coming back to it, government does no justice for anybody when they make the decision, in the case of the war in Afghanistan, to present a version of the truth that's not the truth.
Right.
And it just undercuts their credibility.
Except this is, people talk about this like this is some modern construction. The United States of America was founded on lies. All men are created equal, except for the slaves that we own.
You're right.
The Trail of Tears, or Trump's favorite, President Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
We have had, and the treaties they broke with the Indians. This country goes in and out of the truth whenever and whoever's in charge.
So Monroe Anderson. When you use all the tricks of the trade of journalism that you learned, that you studied when you weren't smoking reefer at the University of Indiana, that you practiced when you weren't getting beat up by the cops at the city of Chicago, how do you know when the government is telling the truth? Like, if you can't believe if you work from the assumption that there's a good chance your government is lying to you, and every single government we've had has lied to us at some point or another, including Clinton and Obama.
Yes.
As much as I hate to say, I voted for both of them, Monroe. My hands are dirty with both of them.
I voted against Reagan.
I voted against Reagan.
He lied.
He lied.
Yeah. I mean, so I voted for those that lied to us and those that lied for us.
So how do you know? What do you know? What's the instinct in you that protects you, and helps you give you a sense of what is the truth?
I'm a cynical journalist, so I'm always on skeptical until I can figure out what's going on. For example, when I first moved to Chicago back in 1972, I was purged from the voting rolls when I was going to vote against Daley. So I had to go downtown.
Old man Daley.
Yeah, old man Daley. Daley won. I had to go downtown, take off from work, go downtown, and prove that I lived where I lived before I could vote. And I knew that was Daley controlling the votes. I lived in Prairie Shore at the time, and the people living there, I strongly suspect, weren't as vulnerable to the machine as people who lived elsewhere.
Pretty sure in the near South Loop.
Yeah.
And so, in other words, they kicked you off the rolls because they thought you were going to vote against Daley?
Right. And they were right.
Did you get back on the rolls?
I got back on the rolls. Fortunately, I had the sort of job where I could take a half a day off and not be penalized for it. You know, had I worked in the mills or the stock yard or something like that.
All right, well,
lost money.
Let's fast forward to where we are today. And you and I have been talking for over 2 years about Donald Trump, his lies,
yes,
his crimes, his misdemeanors, his felonies, his attempt to subvert.
We're still waiting on him to shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue.
He says he can get away with
it. Exactly.
So what gives you the assurance that his version of the truth is wrong and the FBI and the other intelligence agencies' version of the truth is right?
Because Trump commits crimes on TV in front of millions of folks. You know, he's saying that this is a hoax, this whole business with the Ukraine and his soliciting foreign countries to help him get reelected. He admitted it on TV. He stood on the White House lawn with the helicopter in the background, and asked for China to also participate in investigating Biden. His chief of staff said, "We did it. Get over it." So I mean, you know, with the impeachment articles, the second one about him obstructing Congress is been televised. It's he his lawyer sent a letter to Congress saying we're not going to participate in this thing because we think it's a hoax. So I mean, it's a laydown. Although our friends across the aisle, as they like to say to each other, are still going to let him off because
you talk
in the Senate trial.
Yeah. They're going to let him off.
Well, that's the plan.
There were two articles of impeachment yesterday, and in neither case, and I don't believe there's one Republican in Congress who supported those articles of impeachment.
No.
That is a phenomenal sign of strength for Donald Trump in regards to the Republican Party. There is not one member of the Republican Party willing to stand up to Donald Trump.
This is the problem.
You can talk about a Democratic machine in the city of Chicago.
Right,
least the Democrats, we always had like three or four independents who stood up to Daley and Rahm.
Yeah. Donald Trump has Jedi mind tricked about 40% of the American voters. And that group is so convinced of every lie he says that he just goes with it. I mean, he just lies, you know. He knows he's lying. Mm-hmm. It's not even well, should I tell this lie or shall I tell that lie? He says, I'm going to tell them all.
And they
believe it. When I'm fighting with them on Facebook, sometimes just for fun, I would put on Eminem and Rihanna's I Love the Way You Lie.
Yeah.
They just put that on as an answer to one of his lies. He's believe it. I'll do a link to that song where it's about a man who, the song is about a man who abuses his woman,
mm-hmm.
and then sets her on fire in the house. I mean, the lyrics are incredible. It's the tune. It's a really great song. And so I put that on just to trigger him.
Well, I've never seen with any political party such unanimity,
yeah,
unanimous thought as to Donald Trump's relation. Every all these scandals enveloping Donald Trump, and it concerns me because it's so obvious to me and to you,
right,
that Donald Trump is lying. I have, and even I, a skeptic, like I talked about, I have a really hard time believing anything in the face of it. I mean, I think about George Bush concocting a justification for the war in Iraq, which I would argue is far more devastating to this country than anything Donald Trump has done yet. I would argue that. I would make that argument. And so I would say that there would be a more compelling case.
Well, it's more concrete. But it's not. I think what Trump is doing now, he is destroying the whole infrastructure of our democracy with the lies. I mean, what he's done is his people don't believe in anything about government. There's this deep state. I was fighting with this guy the other day who was insisting. You know, I said to him, anybody who believes in a deep state is a fool. And he says, well, you know what the deep state is. It's K Street and how they're controlling.
Who was saying this to you?
It
was someone on Facebook.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, Ralph Weston. My right-wing Facebook mm-hmm. friends. And he said "Is the deep state is K Street and how they're controlling all these people. And I point out to him that Trump has, since he became president, has appointed almost 300 lobbyists to his government. And so if that's supposed to be the deep state, then he's not draining the swamp. He's restocking the swamp, you know. But, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's just absolutely insane.
And so what's the gentleman's response when you say that?
Oh, they don't answer. or I'm just delusional or something.
So when Republicans line up,
yes,
and follow Donald Trump wherever he takes them,
right,
wherever he leads,
right,
whatever he says,
right,
whatever he's arguing at the time,
right,
is it a matter of they're knowingly burying the truth, or do they actually believe what Donald Trump says?
It's both. You know, I mean, it's sometimes it's either or, sometimes it's both of them. But they, you know, for example, I've been heard that Lindsey Graham actually believes the stuff he's saying now, which is completely opposite of what he was saying when he was impeaching Clinton.
Yeah.
He was leading impeachment of Clinton. I mean, he's just completely been converted. Now, how that happens, I don't understand at all.
Well, Lindsey Graham,
except, like I said, I think Trump, if you remember in Star Wars, the scene where Obi-Wan Kenobi, they were going to the bar, and mm-hmm. Obi-Wan Kenobi, they were stopped, and they were supposed to look for drugs or something in their car. It wasn't really a car, spaceship. And he tells them a lie. Obi-Wan could, Obi lies to him. He just says, there are no whatever, oh, droids. I think they were looking for a droid, yeah, if I remember. He said, there are no droids here. And so then they repeat him and say, there are no droids here. You can go through. And Obi-Wan Kenobi says, this is a Jedi mind trick.
Jedi mind trick.
Right, and that's exactly.
Yeah. But I'm going back to what I said before. I do believe, see, here's part of the problem. When I view the Democrats trying to establish a principle.
Yeah.
And I believe that what, I'll go back to what I said earlier, George Bush and his manufacturing a war, or reasons for a war that he didn't have proof for, and getting us now involved, we're now heading into year, what, 16
well,
or 17?
What about LBJ, though, with the Bay of Tonkin?
Well, wait, let me just finish.
Okay.
Okay. Now you just... you're just proving my point by going back, but yeah. Let me just deal with that.
Okay.
And there was no impeachment effort into what George Bush did, manufacturing reasons for a war.
Right.
It's led to thousands of people being killed.
Right.
On all sides. Billions of dollars wasted.
Right.
We're still locked into a war with troops throughout the Middle East. We're still paying the price for that. So at some point, don't the Democrats lose a little credibility because they didn't launch an impeachment inquiry then, but they've got one now?
Well, the thing is, Trump, the reason we have an impeachment inquiry now is Trump has committed crimes, and he's committing crimes as you and I speak right now. I mean, he's a one-man crime wave. So they need to have to do something with him. George, I'm not even sure if George did this or Cheney did it to George.
Well, either way, there was no investigation. I would have loved to have an investigation. I would love to have now we have investigations of the investigations with Donald John Trump. I would have loved to have a little of that when George Bush was president.
Well, we may have that for the future. You know, just as an example, FDR had a mistress mm-hmm. that we knew nothing about when he was president. JFK was a bed hopper that we knew nothing about when he was president. Then we had Gary Hart. Gary Hart
mm-hmm.
Challenged reporters to find his mistress, which they did. And since then, finding mistresses is open prey.
So maybe you're saying...
So I'm saying that possibly, we'll see, but possibly, I think that the things that presidents used to get away with as a result of Trump and all the horrible things he's doing, will be investigated.
All right, that's Monroe Anderson. Dolph Mondragon has joined us. We're going to ask him whether George W. Bush should have been impeached, and we're going to talk about Hillary and Bernie and all the national issues of the day. Local, throw a few local questions in there for Adolfo and Monroe as well. We'll be right back.
The Ben Jarofsky Show is supported by Northwestern University's part-time master's program in literature and liberal studies. Students learn from dynamic and diverse faculty as they build advanced skills for critical analysis, writing, and research. Evening classes are held on Northwestern's Evanston and Chicago campuses. The spring quarter application deadline is January 15th. Learn more at sps.northwestern.edu/masters.
Hey, everybody, what you're about to hear are the piano stylings of Jeff Manuel. Man, listen to Jeff go. Jeff Manuel has been playing piano around Chicago for years. He's played for conventions, for celebrities, played in basement bars with blues bands. He's played at prestigious social clubs, fine restaurants, and in the intimacy of private homes. Book Jeff Manuel at jeffmanuelpianist.com. Don't worry, I'll spell his name at the end of this commercial. You know what Chicago Magazine said? They said that Jeff Manuel is, quote, as comfortable with Chopin as he is with Cole Porter. He's excellent, and his performance is joyous. He offers an elegant stream of compositions and interpretations that entertains the mind but won't hurt the ears. To hear more of Jeff Manuel's work and to book Jeff for your next event, go to jeffmanuelpianist.com. I'm going to spell it out for you, people. J-E-F-F. M as in Mary, A, N as in Nancy, U, E, L, P, I, A, N, I, S, T.com. Take it away, Jeff Manuel.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.